and come to mommy.
Happy Halloween, friends. Welcome back to another episode of The Final Boys, a podcast where we celebrate all things horror in cinema and pop culture. My name's Dustin.
And I'm Matt.
And every other week, Matt and I, we sit down to see if we can survive something spooky. And this week, we watched the 2020 horror anthology, Bad Candy. I chose this. I'll take all the blame. I chose this movie, yeah. Specifically because this is going to be our Halloween episode. And I thought, we wanted to have something kind of like Halloween. So we want to do something truly terrifying or maybe something that revolved around, Halloween. So I remembered that I purchased this movie, from Dread Central at one of their booths at like Midsummer, and I've never gotten around to watch it. So I said, well, it takes place in Halloween, so this makes sense. Also, I wanted to do this bit, and maybe we still can. Can you put, like, a bunch of zany, like, radio sounds in here? Like,
whoa, welcome back to the Final Boys.
Why didn't we just do that? Why
don't
we
just... Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
I mean, we can just say, hey, everyone. All right, we're going to pretend that we're in the studio.
Yeah.
An actual studio doing a radio show, because that's the whole premise of this anthology. You know how, like, you watch an anthology movie, mm-hmm. and something ties it all together, like, Southbound, it's driving. Trick or Treat is a masterpiece. Obviously, Sam ties it all together in Halloween. This one, it's a radio booth.
Which I think is a great idea. I think it's really fun, except, well, we'll get into all of that. So should I redo the intro, and then we can have our old intro, and then this is just a new one. Ready?
I'm just going to keep all this in here. That's perfect. Hear all this.
We had a soft open, now we have a real open.
Yeah, so you guys got the soft one, now let's get hard.
Whoa, happy Halloween. This is your boy Dustin.
And this is Matt.
And together we make the Final Boys, a podcast that celebrates all things horror and cinema pop culture. Boy, wow, wow.
It's pretty good, man.
Thank you very much.
That's pretty good. I was going to just play the smooth, low voice guy where it's like, hey, thanks for listening to 69.9 JIZZ.
I was the zany one.
You're the zany one with sound effects. You got a soundboard and a fucking whistle and all sorts of shit back there, huh? Yeah, you know, God damn it, dude. I don't really have anything to say. It's funny that you got this movie. I was stoked when this movie first got announced, right?
Yeah.
I was like, cool, man. Halloween anthology. I like the logo.
Yeah.
I like the logo. I like the art design that they released. And then I remember it like coming out and I fell asleep to it. So hey, we're back again.
Yeah. Trying to watch it. Also, like the writings, I mean, it's got Corey Taylor in it. It's produced by Dread Central. I mean, it's like, it seems like everything that horror lovers would absolutely love. You know, like if you are a if you like Trick or Treat, then, you know, in theory, this should be like
Trick or Treat 2.0. Don't you even fucking compare the two of them. I get what you're saying. That's like the one thing I wrote down. I was like sitting here and I was going to take a whole bunch of notes. And the only thing I wrote down was just like, well, this came from a place of love. That's all I can come up with. It came from a place of love.
I just wish that they loved it harder. You know? But Matt, before we really, because I have stuff written down too, and I have a funny story about writing stuff down, because I stopped at some point because I couldn't do it anymore. It was like, this is too much work. How have you been?
Yeah, I quit taking notes too. Yeah. That kind of sums up if you get our drift, but, fine, you know, it's, you know, this is our Halloween episode. So, you know, Halloween is almost amongst us. And, you know, I've been trying to get into the spirit as much as possible, watching all the movies that I love. I save them, for this time of year, every single year. It's my tradition. I went to some home haunts. I've been picking up pumpkins and shit and eating a whole lot of candy, which is probably the worst part. It's actually kind of awesome. And yeah, dude, I'm going all in. I'm all in on the spooky season. I'm feeling it this year, which is cool. So I'm just doing all these little things. But yeah, what about you, man? You just saw me finish off this bag of candy corn.
I
want some more.
Well, we can wrap this shit up and we'll get some more candy corn for you, bud.
That's what I want.
I've been good. I've been watching horror. I've been trying to see everything in theaters I could. I haven't seen Smile yet, but I will. By the time that this show comes out, I will have already seen it. But I saw Barbarian. Did I mention that I saw Barbarian in the last episode?
I think you did. I know you told me you saw it, and I still haven't checked it out yet.
It's so good. It's it's really, really something special. We just got back from TwitchCon. That was really that was an experience. Nobody got hurt in my party, which is
a lot of injuries.
I guess a blessing, but also I didn't partake in a lot of the obstacle courses that was that was there.
No foam pits or anything.
No foam pits. No fucking escape rooms. Nothing like that. I played a couple of claw machines. I won something from a claw machine.
That's tight.
At the Intel booth, which was I know people got pretty excited about it. I had a little crowd.
What'd you win?
It's like a little plushie. Dude, I shouldn't have done that whole bit because now my throat hurts real bad.
Wait. Your throat hurts after the bit? Well, I mean, you did kind of get raspy there. Man, drink some water.
All I have is this pumpkin flavored beer. What am I going to do?
Well, I guess you have to drink a pumpkin flavored beer. Yeah. Well, that's cool, dude. Smile. I totally forgot that was a thing. I know that, hey, we're going to spoil the magic yet again. Tonight is the 14th and Halloween Ends came out tonight.
Oh, right.
I'm going to go see it immediately. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it immediately. Also came out on Peacock, which weirded me out because you can just watch it from home.
You know, you're going to theaters tonight to watch it or you're going to watch it at Peacock?
I might go to a fucking 10 p.m. showing, dude.
Dude, what?
Yeah, I want to go see Halloween so bad. Even though personally, I'm just going to put my two cents out there. Halloween Kills was like meh-ish.
Yeah.
But I still obviously went and saw it because it's, you know, Michael Myers and Laurie Strode. I'm stoked for Halloween Ends. I hope it's good because I liked Halloween 2018 a lot. Halloween Kills was kind of, you know. That came out tonight, and I'm stoked. The Peacock thing weirded me out. I like turned on my TV this morning, and I was like, wait, I can just watch this right now?
Yeah.
wait, this is weird. It's not the same, but I know. You know, I want to give my $10 to a Harkin so I can go see it.
That's pretty fun. Yeah. Well, if you do go to movie theaters, I'm going to say that I want to go with you right now to go see it, but after this episode is over and then you text me, I'll probably be like, nah, actually, I'm just tired.
I'll probably do the same thing. I'll be like, yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And then in an hour from now, I'm like, yeah, but my couch, dude.
Yeah. It's on Peacock though, bro. So you can just,
I could just watch. Yeah. I don't know. I want to go to a theater and eat popcorn and I don't know. Something about seeing a slasher film in theaters always has like, it's got a cool vibe to it.
Yeah.
Speaking of slashers, though, I missed out on Terrifier 2, which I'm really bummed about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you could still watch it.
I mean, it didn't get released yet. It just like they did a limited theater run, and I was unfortunately out of town. And then the night I came back was the last showing. And I was just like tired, dude. I was like, I'm not going to a movie theater. you know?
Dang,
I missed it. I think they're going to do more showings at some point. I haven't looked into it, but. Yeah, man, I heard it's really good. I heard it's very good.
Cool.
So,
well, I'm excited for that too. That's I know it's been anticipated, so it's gonna be. All right, like the end of the first one was beloved by many.
I mean, Terrifier was pretty pretty badass and pretty gross, man.
Did Terrifier have a different name before it was Terrifier? Or no, he was part of an anthology.
Yeah, there was another movie. Was it Hallow's Eve?
Hallow's Eve. That's what I was going to say, but I didn't want to sound like an idiot.
But yeah, that's it for me, man. I mean, are you stoked for, have you made a costume for Halloween?
No, but I'm helping Kim make her costume and I don't want to say it on the stream. You're just going to check out her Twitch channel, twitch.tv/zombite, to check out her costumes. But, it's, I'm really proud of it. It's my first time like really building something. So
yeah, you've been giving me sneak peeks. It looks awesome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's kind of like, it's really fun. Like it's really rewarding when you're building stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
That's rad, dude. And Kim, dude, let's just give a shout out to Kim. Like every October, Kim goes all in on the costumes.
She does.
It's a lot of work, and she puts it in, dude, and it looks awesome. So yeah. Go peep. Don't peep. Go watch Kim. Don't be a creep. Watch Kim on Twitch.
Don't be a creep. Go peep Kim.
Yeah. Don't be a creep. Just peep. Wait. Yeah. Don't peep. Creep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Don't. Yeah. Yeah. Don't creep. Just. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Just say if you're just. You just don't say anything.
You know? Don't say anything inappropriate, assholes. Yeah. That's fucking cool, man. I'm having a hard time. Usually I'm really good with costumes.
Yeah.
I like making costumes, dude. And every year I try to make something different and fun. And this year, zero ideas. I'm trying to go vintage with it. I want to make something that looks like it's from maybe the 50s or 60s, or even older. So I'm trying to go like kind of vintage, like looks kind of thrown together. I'm drawing a blank on how I'm going to pull it off. So yeah,
I'm sure something will come together. And you don't have too much time, but I believe in you.
Yeah, I'll move quickly.
Yeah. All right, Matt. Well, so what do you say? Enough with the pleasantries. Let's go watch this film, listener. If you haven't seen this movie and you have any interest in seeing it, it's called Bad Candy. It was released in 2020 by Dread Central. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you can watch it. It's on Vudu for free, apparently, and on Tubi for free. So if you have any interest in seeing this movie, and when you want to get into the Halloween spirit, go ahead, pause the episode now, and go watch it. Because we're going to spoil it.
We're going to spoil it. All right. All right. Well, welcome back, right?
Yeah, I hope you guys don't hate us for making you watch that movie. But yeah, congratulations. You also just survived watching the 2020 film directed by, dramatic pause, Scott B. Hansen and Desiree Connell. Bad Candy on Halloween night in New Salem. Radio DJ's Chili Billy, played by Corey Taylor, and Paul, played by Zach Galligan from Gremlins.
Yeah, Billy, dude.
Tell a twisted anthology of terrifying local myths.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with that because they don't tell any of the story. And that's one thing that I really wish was like in the movie. This movie is so frustrating. First of all, the color grading is literally everywhere. Like,
dude, thank every you for noticing scene that, yeah.
was a completely different color. Some of them looked beautiful, and then some of them look like the contrast was cranked way down or way up, I guess, whatever would make it less contrast, right?
Yeah, it was cranked way down, and it had like that muted kind of, it wasn't a sepia look, but they were going for like that Kodak flat look.
Yeah.
The reason I know that is I've been shooting my stills in that look recently. It's kind of cool, but dude, I noticed that right away. Like, it went from like looking amazing, and then it goes to like this dude driving the truck, and I'm like, what happened? It's totally graded differently.
Like, is it like almost like they shot it raw and then like just didn't color it?
Yeah.
There was some shots that didn't look colored.
Yeah. And I thought at first, like, okay, so I went into this and I watched it, and then after the fact I looked into like the cast and crew and everything like that. And I was like, oh, I thought maybe each section was shot by a completely different director, but it was only two directors, right?
Right. Yeah.
Jumping between all the stories, and they all kind of sort of felt the same towards the end. Right. Mm-hmm. But they were definitely graded and looked different.
So yeah. That first, like maybe 30 minutes of the movie, I really had a problem with. And then I don't know if it was my brain playing tricks on me where I was now watching this movie out of necessity because we had to do a podcast on it. And I'm just like, I'm just like watching screen. I'm not like paying attention to that. But like those first couple of scenes, like you said, when it keeps cutting to the guy in the truck, I'm like, this seems like it's shot on a different camera, edited by a completely different team, and that weren't talking to anybody else.
No, you're right. You're super right. That's like one of the first things I took notes on. I was like, it just feels totally different. And like I said, I just assumed it was because it's an anthology horror film, but you know, you come to find out it's two directors, right? So, and there's like four stories. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It definitely felt different.
Did it? And then I'm misremembering, but it started with that guy, that truck driver, right? The guy that was driving a truck. He's not a truck driver. He's just a guy driving a truck.
Yeah.
Or did it didn't start with the radio DJs, right?
No, it did. It did.
Oh, it did. Okay.
Yeah. So it started with Chili Billy, which is played by Corey Taylor, which is funny because you mentioned Slipknot the other day.
I did. I was listening. Fucking to him, weird. I'm like, I think I like Slipknot. Is it Slipknot or is it just Slipknot? Is the case silent?
I guess. Yeah. I don't listen to Slipknot, so I don't know.
Oh, I love Slipknot, you know?
You do. You like the Slipknot, you know? They're pretty good. Mm-hmm. So Corey Taylor's in it, which was kind of cool. And then Zach Galligan's in it. Obviously Billy from Gremlins, like you said.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they got pretty cool, like radio hosts.
That couldn't give two shits that they were there doing it.
I mean, and the thing is, like, have you seen A Christmas Horror Story before?
That's not the one with Bill Goldberg, right?
No. That's you're thinking of Santa Slay.
Santa Slay.
Yeah, I love Santa Slay. That's like on my list every year.
I'm drawing a blank. I might have seen it. I just don't know it by the name. Maybe I know it more by the German name, obviously. But like,
A Christmas Horror Story is it's kind of the same thing. It's a radio host on Christmas night talking about telling the story about like Santa and Krampus. It's William Shatner.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
that movie's fucking fun, dude. It's so fun, and same kind of premise, but it's not Halloween; it's Christmas, and it's a horror movie. So I don't know, so similar. But I just got to say this up front, dude. We kind of mentioned it already in the intro. This movie, you could tell, comes from a place of like pure love of Halloween and horror. Like you could see like little snippets of like Easter eggs and just like, you know, just it's like Halloween puked all over this film, right?
Yeah.
Visually, like there's everything you can think of. Candy corn, a billion jack-o'-lanterns,
yeah.
Costumes, every trope under the sun, pretty creatures, decent, gore. It's
practical effects, decent practical effects. The practical effects that were there were good, but everything else was.
And that's my problem with it right there. That's my major problem.
And I keep flipping back, like, because I'm like, I did watch this thing and like, okay, like some really talented, good, horror-loving people were behind this movie. But like, they used things in this movie that every horror nerd hates. And like the reason why people hate like a lot of modern horror movies. And it was also just riddled with that. So it was like riddled with like really cool niche stuff, but also like just the most obscene, like why'd you handle a horror movie this way?
I don't know, maybe it was like a budget thing, and you know, I don't know what it is. I mean, like we could shit on it all day long, but you could totally tell that they were trying to make a horror film for horror nerds themed around Halloween, which always having a Halloween themed movie, sold on it. I love it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, dude. It's interesting, but it does open up with like the man in the truck. He's driving down the road and just casually kills somebody.
That never really comes back.
That never comes back at all. And at the same time, it's showing a young girl riding a bicycle. She's dressed up as a witch riding through the New Salem Cemetery. And, they both shots look completely graded differently, like you were saying, like someone, they don't line up. And then, so she gets to like, you know, this bunkhouse in the woods where she just ditched her bike like a mile
ahead. Yeah, I know.
I was like, what the fuck? You ditched your bicycle. You can carry your bicycle. Yeah. It's not that heavy. So she goes to like, you know, the secret like bunk, or like treehouse, club, I should say. And it looks fucking rad, dude. Mm-hmm. Like that's like the dream, right? To have like, you know, a treehouse as a kid that's like yours out in the woods, and it's like
they
got everything decked out Halloween, and
yeah,
there's a bunch of all their closest friends are up there, and you know, they're kid actors. You can't give them too much flack. They're all very young. But they're dressed up. They're getting ready for Halloween. They're going to go trick-or-treating, and they're worried about bullies and how much candy they're going to get and all the tropes.
Dude, the bully in this movie was, I was like, oh, what? That's funny. Yeah. That's really, I mean, maybe that was like on purpose. They had the smallest, scrawniest kid be the bully. Dude, I would laugh so hard. I was like, that's the guy you're afraid of?
Yeah, that's the kid. Because like they do this cut where they show like a random demon cloud in the clown in the woods, which we come to learn is his name is Bad Candy. That's the clown. But then it cuts back to this little kid and they're like, get off our turf. And he's just destroying all their jack-o'-lanterns, causing mayhem. And he's just a little shithead, you know?
Yeah. And the guy says, you better leave or we're going to tell your mom. And he's like, yeah, I better go. I think that I counted this correctly, but like I said in our intro, I lost track of time.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, like sometimes I remember frantically writing things and then like just not writing anything because time was just lost for me. I think there's 7 shorts in this movie.
7 of them?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's try and figure it out. I don't remember. I thought there was 4, but I lost track of time as well.
We have I'm going to count the.
I'm going to open a notepad and type as you're saying this. Yeah, all right.
Thank you. Okay, so short number 1, what we just talked about, the girl, the little girl, witch girl that can draw things that come to life. Okay, yeah. So her story is she lost her mom. She loves Halloween.
Yeah,
her dad is the guy that just randomly killed some guy that was stranded on the side of the road by accident. But like when she draws things, they come to life.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, dude.
I
mean, like, just right there alone, you're saying that's one story. Like, there's the truck driver guy. He kills somebody. He's an asshole. He gets got later, obviously. Yeah. So that's one storyline. The witch girl and her friends, that's a separate storyline.
No, see, I count that as one short.
One big short. Okay. So we're going to count that as one big short. So I'm going to put down short number 1, witch girl clubhouse, drawing magic, which comes back full circle later on.
Right, right. I mean, so it turns out Bad Candy's is their Sam, essentially.
Yep. That's what it is. That's their Sam.
That's the line that like draws everything together and is in other movies. I guess you don't really realize that right away, but
not right away. It takes the whole movie to actually realize that. Cause like you get like sprinkles of the clown, you know, of Bad Candy all throughout the movie. But the thing is, it's not really, they don't elaborate on it. Like they don't elaborate on Sam either. You just know that it's Halloween and you have Sam running around, right? You have Sam running around and that's how it's all tied together. Sam's always in the background when these events are unfolding. And then later it shows it all connecting.
Yeah.
And Sam's there the entire time. So that, I mean, fucking Trick or Treat's a perfect movie.
So short number 1, I titled it Witch Girl That Draws Things That Come to Life.
Okay. Witch Girl Clubhouse Drawing Magic. That's what I have number 1.
So she comes home and her dad is like the epitome of like, you know, big biker guy, mean father that drinks all the time.
Yep.
I didn't really feel much emotion that I had. Like you said that they're kids and you're going to give them kids slack.
Yeah.
But like what are we supposed to do with the adults though? Because they're acting the exact same way.
Listen, dude, listen, all right. Now that you know if they're adults, we can shit all over them, all right? I'm just stating that as someone who's not an actor, I'm not an actor, you're not an actor. We've both been on sets, you know, with actors, without actors, you know. Like actual like authentic interviews and I guess with talent. And yeah, man, I don't know. I got nothing. I got nothing on this one.
I worked with a lot of like sports guys that were in sports and they were bad actors and we're like, we need you to act, buddy. But it would always honestly come down to the director on like the performance. So a lot of it weighed on good direction, but everything in this movie seemed like it was improv or poorly written lines, like, or poorly delivered lines. Yeah. It was like very robotic, and it was like, oh, that's enough. I hate Halloween. Now you go to your room. And she says, I don't want to go to my room. I want to be in Halloween.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, you go to your room. And then like, they both storm down the hallway for like way too long. And then he just slams the door, and she just goes fucking nuts, drawing fairies and little cute monsters that her dad ultimately fucking murders.
I like the little monster. It reminded me of
so cute,
dude. So cute. So like that might be my favorite part. Simply because it felt like Puppet Master.
It did, and it felt so like, and like, yeah, yeah. We can see the little strings, and it's like it's being controlled like a marionette almost.
Yeah.
But like that's what's so charming about like horror movies, especially low budget horror movies. Mm-hmm. And it was like it was so like. The juxtaposition between the fairy that was like you could tell was all green screened to the puppet, which felt so real and in the room and like and like fun.
Mm-hmm.
It took me out every time I saw that fairy. I'm just like, this is fucking so stupid.
And the thing is, like, this part we're talking about lasts like a minute or two tops, right? It's very mm-hmm. fast. They cram. I'm gonna say this, dude. This movie has so much shit in it. Mm-hmm. Just in general, I was thinking about it this morning. I was like, there's so much shit in this movie. Yeah. And I think that's what made me like kind of lose interest, from like there's too much to process. And like, maybe I'm dumb, maybe that's just
there's seven stories in an hour and a half.
Yeah,
where I think Trick or Treat had maybe
there's four stories. Yeah. Okay. And they're perfectly intertwined. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, yeah, that I don't know, man. I don't know. So we have that little girl that she's drawing things, and they're the fairy and the sweet little monster trying to get her out of the room, right? Mm-hmm. And then her dad gets murdered.
Yeah. Well, her dad comes in and murders the two things, and then it's like a passing scene where it's like we find out the mom is dead. At least mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's what it is. So she starts drawing her mom. I had a hard time watching this girl pretend to draw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an artist by any means, but like it just made me really upset. Now I need another drink. Hold on. I'm starting to feel better already. She starts drawing her mom, and her mom comes back as like a demon, and then sucks the soul and sinew out of her dad.
Yeah.
But did you hear what she said as she was sucking his soul?
I don't remember, no.
Your soul is mine.
Oh, yeah.
And then
dude.
I looked at Kim and I said, Lou!
Dude, I mean, not as cool as Shang Tsung, right?
Mm-hmm. 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 Not as cool.
Not as cool.
I'm glad we got a Mortal Kombat reference in this movie.
There are, like, here's the thing though, man. There's like weird little Easter eggs all throughout this fucking movie that I'm like, yeah, these guys are this crew, they're all movie lovers, man. Mm-hmm. Like dumb things like the kids texting that girl back, like, hey, we can meet on Elm Street, and you're like, yes, mm-hmm. dude. Like little things like that, just sprinkled throughout, and like even the studio, I don't know if it was just like referencing like Night Vale with like the whole eye thing. I love all those little Easter eggs. You can tell it's all from love of like different pieces of pop culture.
Yeah.
That's directly from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, speaking of texting, she had her stepdad in her phone as stepdad. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. And that is actual name.
Yeah.
Just stepdad.
Greg. Like,
yeah. No, she won't even have him as Greg. No. No, just stepdad, the guy she lives with.
Oh, and oh my God, his name is Greg in the movie.
Yeah, it's Greg. Yeah,
I did not know. I just
the big bearded guy.
I thought I just made that up.
No, dude, it's Greg.
That's funny.
The big bearded guy. Yeah. So he gets got by the mom. You know, she like sucks his soul out, like his eyes and his all the blood from his mouth and eyes, and he's mm-hmm. bleeding like jelly and jam. You can tell.
Yeah.
And then he's dead, and so. The little girl's like, I'm going to go trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
So she goes trick-or-treating. She leaves the house.
Yeah.
That's story one.
Well, so, I think I'd also put in that story one of the bully, a clown murders a kid because he's stealing candy.
Is that story one, though? I mean, that could be story two.
I think that's still part of... Well, then there's eight stories, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
Fuck. Okay, so I would say let's put a little side asterisk here. So the little bully kid, they show him going, like, house to house. He's just smashing pumpkins. You know, the whole thing, like, hey, it's they left the candy out front. Like, please take one because they had to go to bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, going through it. He's like, I can't eat this. And then he just takes the whole fucking jack-o'-lantern full of candy. And then he walks into a haunt on the side of a house and, he gets got, you know?
Yeah. By bad candy.
By bad candy.
Bad candy, I think was a little lenient on him. He just like eye blasted him and turned him into a wooden toy.
Yep. Turned him into a wooden toy. And then that's actually one of my favorite shots in the whole movie is when they show bad candy walking down to his lair, which is like lined with like jack-o'-lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a cool just shot. It's cheesy, but it's a cool shot, you know?
There's
like
so the director of photography did excellent job. I think there's a lot of like really, really cool shots. I just wish that it looked like it was all edited by the same people.
Yeah. It definitely felt different. Like that shot was definitely it was a better shot. And then just the color grading and like the whole scene itself, it just felt totally different. You know, just bad candy walking away from the camera down a hallway full of jack-o'-lanterns to go put this kid in its kid collection. It had a whole collection of kids. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck's going on there. They don't explain it, but
another thing about the editing in this movie, I don't know if this like if this bothered you as much as it is it does to me. When I've never actually done a film. Like I've maybe done like a short documentary or commercials, but my video editor that we had, he was like a film guy. Like that's all he did. And he brought a lot of his experience and like his knowledge from how he like cutting movies into cutting commercials. And one thing that he told me was he's like, the easiest thing that you can do to make something look good is that you cut on actions. So if I start an action and we have another shot of it, I do not complete the action. They cut and then they pick back up on the other side of
different
like,
angle
of a different angle.
Yep.
Because one, it like tricks the viewer into like thinking that like this is like that it's happening and like it fills in the gaps where you don't have to be as precise or like for consistency's sake, but like there is so many like times where like there like a guy would turn his head to talk to someone and then it would go to a different angle and then he'd turn his head again, you know, like they weren't cutting on actions. They were letting the action finish, picking it back up from another angle. And like, you'd do that same action a second time, which is like so disoriented of like, I thought you were just looking at him. Like why? Yeah.
No, there was some questionable edits. There's a scene later on that, you know, I'm going to call it right when we talk about it, but it was the editing part that like took me out of it. But yeah, it just seems like, yeah, they needed to chop it down a little bit. All right, so that's story 2 or 1.5 is the little bully. Mm-hmm. What's the next story on your list, man?
I have short number 2, old man making candy traps.
The candy guy. So let's say old man candy guy, and he's putting razor blades in the candy and being a fucking creep. That does not happen, you know?
Yeah.
But... that's the whole Halloween. That's the lore of it. So he's like, you know, fucking up the candy. He's an asshole.
And it's unfortunate that like this is a direct rip of, you know, one of the stories in Trick or Treat. Except Trick or Treat is so much more impactful because we learn the backstory of this, of the guy. He's a teacher. Right. And like, and so, you know, someone that's supposed to protect kids, the ethos, it's like, Trick or Treat is such a good movie.
It's perfect, dude.
Right? Like perfect. It's like because like it man. It makes you it plays up on these tropes of like of the characters, like the girls. I'd rather talk about that because that was our first episode. right?
We should go back and talk about Trick or Treat again.
We should do Trick or Treat and do it all over again, because you know that was our first episode, so I'm sure we didn't do it any justice. But like,
no, we did terrible. Yeah,
like the girls that like you think are just trying to lose their virginity before summer is over, or before their school year is over, or before fall break or whatever. So it's like you have all this like ethos that's building up, and then you find out they're fucking vampires or werewolves. I forgot.
Werewolves.
They're werewolves. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's like awesome. they needed to get that kill that night. And that's kind of what. So it's like, oh, man, I get goosebumps thinking about that movie.
Perfect.
It is a perfect movie. But like the setup and the payoff, where the setup is this guy is just nasty and he's putting razor blades in bars. But like, I don't know anything about him. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's just like this. It's an urban legend, I suppose.
That's it.
And so that's all he does. And so then Bad Candy comes and gets him.
Yep.
But I do like the scene where like Bad Candy, like so that a kid just comes to his door and gets like fucking razor blade candy and a razor blade cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
That whole scene where she's like, is it vegan and gluten free? And he's like,
what the
fuck? Yeah, it is.
Of course.
I mean, that's funny, and that's like a little like diss on, you know, current culture, I suppose.
Yeah, there's definitely like modern social commentary, you know, sprinkled throughout.
That's
like,
the word.
Yeah, there's it's all over the place in this one, and it you know it's fine. There's a few that are funny, but there's that one, and then he gets got by Bad Candy, which you know that was only like a 5 minute scene, maybe.
Yeah,
he gets got.
But the scene where like he like knocks the candy out of the kid's hands, but it's like he's doing it because he loves him, loves the kids, right? He's trying to preserve the spirit of Halloween, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the whole murder of the old man. I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, that was a pretty cool scene. It was short and to the point. So he gets got.
And I think it was all practical from what I remember.
That one felt like it was all practical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, also like there's, I think it's the next one or the kill after is also primarily practical, but that one was rad. And then we go to, is this where we go to the metal club after this?
This is the drug induced costume party. Yeah.
Yes.
The
metal club. So they go to like a metal show and it's like a giant Halloween party metal show. And I will say this up front, dude. So there was like there's metal dudes on stage, they're jamming and stuff. And then when it cuts to like people dancing and talking, they're playing Dance with the Dead in the background throughout the entire movie. And I'm like, that's fucking cool. So that's like the one major thing I liked about it. So Dance with the Dead is like in the soundtrack.
Now you're a big metal guy and I didn't look any of this up, but like the guys on stage, did they use any kind of like, any like real, because like they have Corey Taylor in here, so obviously they can get people from the biz,
from the community.
Did you recognize anybody on stage, or like there was like those two twins at the end of one of the scenes?
Yeah.
Are they from something, or are they like,
no, I don't, I have no idea. I don't know if they're like in that whole thing. I'm not like a Slipknot fan at all, dudes. I don't know any of those bands that are associated with Corey Taylor, like you know, Stone Sour and stuff, so maybe. I just heard, you know, it went from like generic metal in the background to like Dance with the Dead. And I got really excited about that. But yeah, you're in this like club and you're introduced to this, this dude who's kind of like dressed very 70s-esque, right? Like leather jacket, fucking open shirt, boots. And he's just selling everyone drugs, you know, all sorts of stuff, dude. And everyone seems to know he's the drug guy. And, you know, he's trying to pick up chicks and it doesn't work out for him.
Yeah.
And so what happens, he ends up like dipping out on that place.
He had to go make a sale.
He ends up like giving this one girl dressed up as a nurse some drugs, right? For free or something. And then he dips out to go make a sale. And it's like him pulling up to a gas station. And there's like three women out front. And, you know, he's like, oh, shit. And he like goes inside, buys a beer, does a little deal, goes out front. And they kind of like the goof on him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just goofing. And then it cuts to him like going into like the dirtiest bathroom on earth. Dude.
Yeah.
And like that whole part, I kind of liked how it was like super gross and gritty. And he's even like, man, this place is a shithole. You know?
Yeah.
I liked all of that. I'm like, this is cool. It's building the scenario. And then the dude goes to take a dump, you know, and he sees all of the generic stuff you would see on the walls in a dirty bathroom, you know, like, you know, glory hole and text this number for a good time. And
yeah,
and he texts the number.
Right.
And what happens?
It just replies back with a picture of his feet underneath the stall.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's someone in there with him. Mm-hmm. This is one of the, I think one of the coolest kills, mm-hmm. except it was ruined.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure I know exactly what you're going to say. Cause I think you wanted to get to this kill, and why it was ruined.
Why is it ruined for you?
Because there's too much fucking CGI blood.
Yep.
Like,
that's it.
Why couldn't we just do regular blood?
It was almost perfect. It was like the whole scene, like building up this dude where he's just like, he's a drug dealer. It's Halloween night. You know, he might be a kind of a piece of shit. You don't really know. Kind of looks like it, but you're like starting to feel for him a little bit. You're like, oh, he's just doing his thing.
Yeah.
But
he's really not hurting anybody other than just giving him drugs, which he's giving them away for free. He's not like ripping people off.
He was giving everyone free drugs.
He's a drug dealer that like literally sucks at his job.
Yeah, he's the worst drug dealer.
Yeah, he's the worst drug dealer.
He's giving away free weed and acid. I was like, where the fuck is this guy, dude? This is awesome.
He's like literally fostering good times for people.
Yeah, oh, you're at a Halloween party. Here's some free acid and weed.
Yeah.
It's
sorry,
clean.
Sorry that you bumped into me. Here's some hallucinogenics.
And then, he just has a beer and a cigarette, and then he has to go take a dump. And so he goes. And I love this whole scene. The buildup is like gritty and it's kind of funny, but he steps out of the stall and there's a gentleman there just bleeding.
Yeah.
And just shaking and bleeding. And you're like, oh fuck, dude. And the guy's not talking. And he's like, are you creeping on me, man? Get the fuck out of here. You know? And then that gentleman drops his own tongue.
Yeah. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah. Practical. All practical.
Yeah, bleeding. Love it. No problem with this. No problem.
No problems. And then from behind him steps out a devil.
Yeah.
Like someone wearing a devil mask and holding a knife. And I'm like, this is a slasher bit. And I love it. I'm into this part. And it's a slasher bit, dude. It's fun. And like, you know, he goes to hide in the stall. Very Halloween 2018-esque, you know?
Yeah.
And the slasher starts like, you know, getting at him. And he gets got.
Yeah, I mean, it has all the tropes. It has like that hand slash as he tries to reach underneath the thing, and the scene that I absolutely love is like when he puts his ear to the door, and you're like, we know what's gonna happen.
You know what's gonna happen. Yeah,
and he gets fucking stabbed in the temple.
Yeah, and like brilliant. That's all of it was rad until they pull the knife out, and then he falls over, and it's just over the top CGI blood spraying everywhere. Yeah.
Because like there was blood in his eye that was dripping down. I'm like, that looks so cool.
That looked fucking awesome, dude. Yeah. It was menacing. This one was well shot, too, because like it was like a handy cam, too. So it's like building that tension following him. And I'm like, fuck, dude, everything about this is rad. This is what I want to see. A Halloween night slasher. And they don't explain shit.
Yeah.
And I love that. And then it just goes CG. And I'm like, fuck, man.
Yeah. The blood. I can probably like Google blood squirt gif, and it's like and they just shrunk it down and put it on top of the frame.
I don't know why they did that. They should have just left it like the bloody eye, the blood on the side of his face, and he could have just convulsed a little bit and died, and I would have been sold on this whole scene. But yeah, that's just my two cents. Some people dig it, some people don't.
CGI, there's nobody that dug that, bro. Maybe if it was done good, there's nobody there's nobody on this face of this planet that's like that saw that and was like, fuck yeah, dude. I'm not
that's
convinced.
My jam. That's
I'm not
my
even
jam.
Convinced the director that sees the final cut of this is like, yeah, bro, you fucking crushed it. I'd be like, I guess so. We got a deadline to meet, so I have to just ship it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Listener, if you watched this movie, I'm sorry. If you watch this movie and you saw that CGI blood, or if you're like questioning like what CGI blood are they talking about, then I want to talk to you. All right. I want to find one person on this earth that doesn't hate that that doesn't think that scene was absolutely ruined.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty rough, dude. So he gets got, and that devil costume, they just walk out of the bathroom. There's a body. So that's story four.
That was story. I have story three for that.
Oh yeah.
You're counting the kid.
That's my 1.5. So yeah.
Okay.
Bathroom kill. drug guy. Okay. So from there, does it go back to the metal party?
Yeah. I mean, and find out where that nurse is going.
Abby, the nurse.
Sexy nurse. Yeah.
Sexy nurse Abby. All right. So this one, there's stuff that I like about this one, stuff that I clearly don't like about
it.
So they have this, like, this, she's dressed up as, like, you know, a nurse. Her name's Abby. And she's, like, at this metal party, and she's, like, with her friends, and she's waiting for this dude named Matt. Matt, you're a douchebag. I know. Sorry. We're all douchebags. Waiting for this dude, Matt, to hit her up. Like, you know, her date, and he never shows. And so, you know, she's just hanging out or whatever. And she got the free drugs from the dude that died in the scene before. But she's like, oh, I got to go anyway. So here's the part that I don't like. She knowingly went to a Halloween party, was trying to, like, meet up with a date or hook up with this dude, and she was partying, but then she had to work that night.
Well, she got called in.
She got called in?
Yeah. So
I don't remember that at all.
So yeah. that's what I don't get, because she gets two text messages. She gets a text message that from her date that's like, you're weirdo, stop texting me. And then but like without a beat later, it was a hey, I'm gonna need you to come into work.
She should have said, no, I'm not sober. You know, it's Halloween night. I'm fucking wasted. I mean, that's all you have to say. We can get fired. Like, dude, unless like ahead of time, they're like, you're on call tonight. That's on her then. Well, I don't know. Hey, listen, dude, I don't know the rules here. I don't know her life. Maybe she was on call and she just, you know.
I don't know how mortuaries work. I only play them on Twitch, you know.
Exactly. Just Mortuary Assistant.
Have you played Mortuary Assistant?
No, but I watched Kim play through it. Okay. And yeah.
I'm assuming it's the exact same thing here.
Oh, yeah. You just go in there and it's haunted. But here's the thing. Instead of it being haunted and, you know, some weird shit happens and, you know, there's shadows and doors open. Instead, you just do acid and have orgasms, apparently.
Yeah. So this one gets a little weird. She shows up at work.
Yeah.
Maybe she's got to do an autopsy. Do mortuaries do autopsies?
So she's supposed to be doing like autopsies, but here's the weird part. She has like obviously choices of these different cadavers, and she's like, she opens one and she's like, no, not today, big guy. And then she like looks in another one. She's like, nah, not tonight. And you're like, isn't that your job? Aren't you supposed to be doing these anyway?
Yeah. So I asked Kim that question. She said she got to choose, who she did an autopsy on.
In the game. I thought you meant in real life.
I'm like, Kim, dude, is that how it works? And did she just choose who she wants to work on or not? She's like, well, I got to, and Mortuary's assistant. So I said, you know what? You're right. It probably.
That's how it is. You get to choose which body. You're like, I don't know. This guy's, he's got stinky feet.
Yeah. Oh, God, man. I feel bad for the people that are going to be doing my autopsy.
Stinky feet, bro.
Hopefully I showered right before I died.
Probably. And so, you know, she chooses a handsome young fella, and she's like, she opens up the, you know, the fridge, you know, in the morgue, and it's like, you know, a gross fridge, but there's like a sign saying like, don't touch, this is Kyle stuff. Clearly her coworker. And it's just a bunch of booze and snacks. Mm-hmm. And so she starts drinking his booze, feeling a little loosey goosey.
Yeah. She's high and drunk. That's called crunking.
Dude. Right. Is that what the kids do? Huh? Well, I'm saying that like I'm not about to go do that the second we're done with this shit. So
you're high on candy though. So
I'm high on candy.
You're drunk and high on candy corn.
Oh, there's so much sugar in my system. And she's like, you know, she's having a good time, and then she opens up her little like free stash of drugs she got, and there's like weed in there, some pills, and obviously a couple tabs of acid. I'm like, damn, that guy's really fucking handing shit out. It's crazy. So she's like, you know, she takes a peek at the young man. She's like, wow, you're handsome. And then she looks under the sheet, and I'm like, I knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, nice. You know, I'm like, dude, where the fuck is this going, man?
Yeah. She starts fucking a corpse.
I was like, she's going to fuck this corpse? Yeah, yep, she's going to fuck this corpse.
She fucks the corpse.
So that's it. She does some acid. She starts grinding up on this corpse, having this body feel her up. We're watching this woman, you know, fucking get off for like a few minutes. And the corpse comes to life. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And the acid kicks in. So she starts like having these weird, like trippy visuals as that corpse and a couple other corpses are coming after her. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell if it's real or not because she's fucked up. And then she locks herself, or she goes into the freezer, and Bad Candy shows up and locks the freezer, and she freezes to death.
Yeah.
That's it.
So do you think she was, do you think all those corpses came to life or in the freezer or no? Also, is it weird that like there was just a bunch of bodies in the freezer just like lying about?
No, I think maybe because the actual like the pan lockers, they were probably full. So they probably just put the fresh corpses in there because they were just, they like, were bagged, but they weren't tagged. So I looked, I was like, I didn't see tags on their feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, obviously, you're a mortuary assistant. So
yeah, dude, I'm a pro at this, you know. I don't know. I think it was just like a combination of bad candies, you know, magic and the acid. Because like they do cut away and have her do some like spectral shit where like thing, there's like tracers and things are pulsating. I'm like, all right, that's the acid part. I know that. Mm-hmm. But the rest of it is like, I don't know. I don't know about that. Yeah. So. I don't know, man. Kind of a cool, weird one. I don't know. She fucks a corpse. I don't know what to say.
I wish we got to see some dick and titties, but...
You know, there was no nudity there. Mm-hmm. That was the weird part because they were, like, alluding to it. Mm-hmm. They were, like, you know, they were building up to it. I'm like, oh, there's going to be some nudity here.
Yeah, like the he was going to wake up and just rip her clothes off or something like
That's
that.
That's what I was thinking.
And then we'd have a fucking dead guy with a dong chasing her down the hallway.
Yeah, dude.
That's what I want to see.
You know, honestly... They should have done it. Mm-hmm. Dead guy orgy. They should have done it. But so that's...
But it's the opposite. She actually loves it. She's just like, I'm being fucked by all these dead guys. Finally. People like me.
Well, that's the thing. I kind of liked how she took a few sips of the booze and she started like, you know, stumbling around because she's feeling it. And she's like talking to herself about like, oh, I should stop being weird. You're so weird, Abby. Always working. Never fun, Abby. You know, talking to herself. And then that's where she takes the acid. And I'm like, dug your own grave, lady. What made her bad? Is it because she was doing drugs or she was fucking a corpse?
She was fucking corpses. I'm gonna go with the whole corpse part. Thing.
Yeah,
defiling the dead. I think bad candy probably had a problem with that part.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
those
were
his people.
She was playing with the body. Mm-hmm. Abby Nurse Lady is story 4 or 5.
That's what I'm saying. 4. Okay. 5 is home invasion. So it goes back to
the metal party.
The metal party where you have the three girls that were talking to the drug dealer. Mm-hmm. It's the end of the party and they're all splitting up. I don't understand this. It cuts back to her and she's doing like seven minutes in heaven with a guy that she doesn't want to be in there with.
Hmm.
Right, it was the guy with the Make America Great Again hat, and
yeah,
I don't know what he was supposed to be.
He was just wearing like shorts,
a trench coat, and underwear.
I don't know. Yeah,
socks.
I'm very confused by his costume.
I was thinking maybe it was like Jane Silent Bob, but he's never like in his undies.
They never looked anything like that.
Yeah, he wore a trench coat, but a black one, right?
Yeah, but they both had trench coats, and he had like a shiny red underwear, boxers or something. I honestly don't know what that was. I just, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't. But before that, like there's another scene that kind of ties into another story later. It goes to like this guy getting ready.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He's like dressing up as a vampire and he's getting ready for the night and he's like FaceTiming his buddy. And his buddy's like, oh, you're dressing up like a vampire, you know?
Yeah.
They're making fun of each other and stuff. And then it cuts the lady. And then that vampire guy shows up. He's like, they have their own like rideshare service in the movie. It's not Lyft or Uber. It's like easy
free
ride
or something.
Free ride. Yeah. Free ride. There you go. So he picks her up and he's like, oh, must have been a crazy party. I've picked up 4 other people here so far.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes her back to a fucking mansion.
Yeah.
Dude, she had a mansion.
Yeah, but when she went inside, it didn't seem like it, though.
No, definitely like two different shots for sure. They shot the outside of that house one day, and they rented another place for a different shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
You could totally tell that. I was like, that's crazy. You have this mansion with like a huge forest. And she gets into her house to find the two trench coat guys.
Yeah, they're robbing her, but they know her.
Yeah. I was so confused by that. I'm like, is this like her ex or, but I don't know.
Also, what were they stealing though too? Like, cause they didn't leave with anything.
Well, they didn't leave at all, you know, technically.
Well, one of them did. Didn't one of them?
Oh yeah. The
bald guy left.
The skinnier,
he's
taller
like, oh,
guy.
I'm going out of here. Cause
Yeah, he was like, that's on you, man. He ran out the door. You're right. You're right. He was just trying to steal shit and he got out. I'm assuming he got by bad candy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's like a, you know, a fight between
this is a very confusing.
This one was confusing.
This one is like the most confusing out of all of them.
This one felt like kind of thrown together out of nowhere.
Yeah. There's a home invasion that goes wrong.
Yes.
And then so now he wants to kill her, but he knows her. In the scene before, they were like kind of having fun and like being weird together. But now he's like, I'm going to kill her.
Yeah. But now I'm going to kill her. And clearly he knows her house. Like knew his way around. Very confusing. He strips down to just like his shiny underwear or whatever and a tank top and his red hat. And he like, I don't know, man. He chases her in the garage and she nails his feet with a nail gun.
I like that. Except where was that compressed air coming from?
I was going to question that.
To fucking
keep that plugged in 24/7.
Yeah. And the compressor on. You're wasting a lot of electricity, lady.
So
also like it's like a very much industrial like type tool. It's like, what does she do with that, you think?
I don't know. I mean, based off that mansion, that's a very small garage.
Yeah. Screw
that. I'm judging. So she like nail guns his feet and then she runs out the door and runs through like the little forest area towards like a park, community park. And this guy gets killed in one of the dumbest ways ever. He's trying to attack her near the swing set and the swing set wraps around his neck.
Yeah. Was that magic or was that like clumsiness?
No, it was. I went back and I watched that scene twice.
Yeah. It's okay.
Bad candy doing it.
Okay. It's bad candy. Right.
Because when he goes to like attack her, you hear like the bad candy, like little sound effect in the background and then it wraps around his neck and she grabs his legs and starts yanking him down to choke him out. And then he like kicks her off, but and then he dies. Something kills him and she's knocked out, you know? So then he gets skinned to death. Bad candy like cuts off his limbs and skins him and makes like a pile of meat with his head, right?
Yeah. I thought that, I mean, like the aftermath when everything was said and done, that shot looked cool with his like with there's just like that head on top of the kids playset and all the blood was like flowing down it. That was a cool shot. And it was like all their like 90 degree locked off shots were like pretty tight.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like his head was on top of that slide and the blood was running down it, and there was just like viscera and candy all over
in the
blood and the skin. It looked fucking cool, dude. So that was a rad shot. I don't know. I dug that. It was just
but the short was confusing as fuck.
It was so confusing, and then his death was just corny. Like swing set death? I don't know, man.
Yeah.
So that's number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the home invasion. Swing set death. Okay. So number 6 would be the
Uber vampire.
The Uber vampire guy. Mm-hmm. So he goes back to that gas station that we're introduced to earlier in the film. And the three women that were out front that were heckling that one drug dealer guy are heckling this Uber driver.
That those three women were definitely improvising.
And it was
so hard to watch because like none of them knew what the other one was talking about.
Yep.
She's like, and the guy, I just hate it when like clowns try and fuck you. And the other one's like, yeah, clowns. That seems, weird or cool. Or I mean like, I was like, damn, that's hard. And we stayed on that for
way too long.
An uncomfortable amount of time.
You know how you could tell it was improvs? Because they were like all kind of nodding, waiting for the pace. They were waiting for that pacing. Like, should I jump in and crack a joke? And some of them were like, there was like one joke, like, well, where do those flowers come from? She's like, everywhere. Like, they're just jokes weren't landing for me at all, dude. I'm like, this is improv, man. No offense to those actors. Yeah. They, you know, they're just going for it. No offense to anyone that worked on this, for real. Like, there's some love here.
I don't know.
God damn, dude.
I have offense. A little.
I'm a little offended.
A little offended.
And so they, the vampire like Lyft or Uber ride. What is it? Free ride guy. He picks up one of them to take them home, and she, like convinces her to introduce him to her pimp or something. I don't.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I thought he can introduce her. I thought she's like, do you want to make a little extra money or something like that?
That's what it was.
Take me here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, right. Like, why did she need him to take her there? And then immediately starts talking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, suck his dick. And I was like, what the fuck?
Do you suck blood or do you suck dick?
And they were and all then, laughing.
Then, yeah, they're all laughing. And then like it cuts to like some random guy loading box and he's like, so what is it? Do you suck blood or do you suck dick? He's like, we just made that joke, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know what it was. The whole crew.
I laughed though. I thought that was funny.
It was funny because
it was very funny.
Because it was bad, dude. That's why it was so ridiculous. And then just out of nowhere, you know, a vampire dude picks up his cane and it's a shotgun.
Yeah.
And he just blasts someone straight in the chest and they all freak out. And then his buddy shows up out of fucking nowhere. Yeah. Literally nowhere, right? And his buddy's just this huge dude. And he just starts fucking murdering people, starts messing them all up.
Yeah.
And these two dudes beat the shit out of a whole gang, which I don't find believable. But hey, then again, they were vets.
They're Marines, bro.
They were Marines. Maybe they were trained. And the interesting thing was the big dude carried a gun, but he only carried one bullet.
Yeah.
Because I don't like guns. I mean, that's kind of interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, they fucking destroyed this whole gang and then they kidnapped all of them.
They made it very apparent that they were ex-military because one of them carried around this like photograph of like him and his friends, and they were wearing dog tags. And also every other line was like, but you're a Marine, but you're like served in Iraq, but you're a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, we get it. They're Marines. I'm smart. I'm a smart viewer. Just tell me one time or show me that photo of all of them in the Marines. I understand.
They had to just do it once because the whole theme of this short story, I mean, obviously it's pretty important. Like, you know, they were defending our country and everything. And I understand that. And I respect that, but it was just like, we came back to this country and it's turned into shit. So, we're Marines. Like, oh, dude, you established that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, pure respect.
They were vigilantes. So what they're doing is they're rounding up people that they deemed bad for society, or unworthy, right? And then feeding them to their friend that is a gargoyle vampire.
Didn't explain it at all. Like, also, it sounded like all of them can transform for some reason. But
oh,
they
really?
Were like,
I was only getting one of them.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because they were like, oh, you dressed them up. Oh, I guess they did say you dressed them up this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very confused by it. I liked a lot in this scene, but there's also a lot of confusion in this scene, right?
Yeah. I want to know the backstory of like how that happened to their friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
how
what
did
I
they
wanted.
Start we this like vigilantism. Like, how did he become a gargoyle? Like,
yeah.
Cool shit, man.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
So it was like almost like Ready or Not or like that hide and seek movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that movie where it's like the rich people get a bunch of poor people to come to their village or their town, mm-hmm. and everybody's like in on it and has to hunt all these poor people?
Yeah.
I like that. So it's like, it was kind of like that. They were giving these guys a chance. They're like, you can escape. I just wouldn't go into the woods.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Like, probably not a good direction to go. Mm-hmm. Watch out for the tree line. Yeah.
Because their buddy is a vampire or it's a vampire gargoyle and he needs to feed.
Was he a vampire? He might've been a vampire.
He might've
cracked a joke.
It was like a bat.
He was like a bat. And I mean, honestly, the practical effects for that creature look awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
That's the best practical effects in the whole movie, I think, is the creature. Mm-hmm. When it's on the ground, when it's in the sky, it's CG. But, they did crack a joke about, or they made a comment about the driver essentially dressing up like a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he was a vampire.
Yeah, like their take on vampire. But I mean, it was cool. Definitely looked tight.
Yeah, super cool, dude. Like I was saying, the whole thing with like them being like ex-military and having like this interesting backstory, all awesome. I dig it. And I like the whole them being, you know, vigilantes, like, hey, you know, fuck you guys for ruining all this, you know. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting take on it. I'm like, this is cool. This could be its own movie. But they round up all these people, and like you said, they give them a chance, but I like what they do. They strip them all down and they put pumpkins on each one of their heads. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you gotta run. You know,
one of them was wearing a Halloween 3 mask, wasn't he?
He was wearing a smaller pumpkin mask, and yeah. I think it was like a play on it, but it wasn't the pumpkin from Halloween 3. But it was definitely a smaller one, which was interesting. And then here's the thing, that the editing part that I wanted to make a comment on is, like, they're all wearing gags, right? Mm-hmm. And they're making it very clear, like, we can't hear you. You have gags in your mouth and you're all just mumbling. But when they put the pumpkin helmets on, all their gags disappear.
Yeah.
That was the weird part. Like, how did that work?
Because they had the inside cameras of them all.
Inside cameras screaming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. Weird edit choice. Continuity, not there in that part. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's pretty cool. They all get picked off besides one guy. There's one guy that survives.
Short 7, and it's the last. It ties everything together. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I would like to talk a little bit about, we surprisingly talking a lot more than I thought about this movie. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot to unpack, because it's so mind-blowing what they tried to get away with in this movie. Chili Billy and Zach and Paul, sorry, they have a radio show. Mm-hmm. The premise of the radio show is that they're telling us these stories as urban legends in the town of New Salem. Mm-hmm. It every now and then it will cut back after like each of these shorts. It cuts back to Chili Billy and Paul, and they have like a couple one-liners or whatever. I would have liked to see them a lot more integrated into the shorts. Mm-hmm. Like, if I got pulled out of the short by Corey Taylor's character, like, stumbling over a word, or like, you know, like letting me know that this is a story that he's telling to his audience, I think it would be a lot funnier and a lot cooler. Kind of like, what's that movie that we saw, that the anthology not too long ago? Warm Bodies? No, not Warm Bodies. Body Bags?
Oh, you're talking about the John Carpenter one?
Yeah. Where like he was telling us the stories of these bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And like every now and then it would cut back to him and be like, that's crazy. Like, but we know that he's telling us these stories. There is nothing that's making me believe that Chili Billy is telling us these stories.
Not at all.
It's when it cuts back to him, it's as if he doesn't know that he just told us the story. Mm-hmm. And I think this was the first time. So short number 6 was the first time it cut back to Billy. Chili Billy to like have his reaction on something, but like, mm-hmm. But also, what is he reacting to? He's the one that's telling the story. I also don't like how they handled listener calls, because we knew that maybe sometimes they would come in, but we either couldn't hear them or they weren't like on air. So like me as the viewer or listener, I don't necessarily know about those people. Mm-hmm. And it really bothered me up until this final short. Hmm. And the reason why it bothered me in the final short is because it has everything to do with the two hosts.
Yeah.
Or at least one of the hosts. Mm-hmm. Did you get that feeling at all? Did you like it? Chili Billy couldn't have been in, like, may as well not have even been in this movie. Mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like he was telling me these stories.
Yeah, that's my problem. Like, so, you know, you don't have to do this for the anthology films, because you could just have story after story after story after story. But mm-hmm. like all of these modern horror anthology movies are trying to tie them all together with some sort of loose thread, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to do that. And like obviously we talked about Trick or Treat a million times tonight because like they perfectly nail that like flow. It's perfect, right? This one though, like I agree. I feel like when they cut back to the studio, I liked seeing the studio stuff, but I didn't care. And that's the problem.
I liked seeing it because visually it was stimulating, but it didn't help. It didn't like progress me through the story.
Not at all. And that's what I mean by I didn't care. Like I liked when I saw those two characters, I'm like, cool, do the studio stuff. That's a great idea. Yeah. That's a great idea. Just like there's another, I am drawing a blank on the name of this movie. It's a video store clerk and he would pull a different movie off the shelf, a VHS tape, and he'd play it and it would come back to him and he would play another tape, like trying to tie it all together that way. Mm-hmm. Not VHS, because obviously that's what VHS does, but there was another movie that did it in a store. They're rad. Like they should have utilized them more where like they are listening to a user story or a caller story. And then they can cut them off like, wait, that actually happened? And
right. Then go back into the story. That's what I wanted. Like, there's no way that they were all like,
there's a vampire eating people wearing pumpkin heads and they would cut back to the story. Yeah. Stuff like that where it integrate the user, the listener stories, right?
Or to fix some of these like continuity things. Like the, like, you know how like when they put the masks on them and now all of a sudden they don't have gags.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why? Wait, so hold on a second. You're telling me that they're gagged, but we can understand what they're saying. And they're like, okay, well, maybe. Like,
maybe they didn't have gags on.
Maybe they didn't have gags on. So like, and now everything is like here on out. Now they don't have gags on. It resets, right? Like, I think that'd be so funny.
Love that.
Or like drunk, you know how like Drunk History does it? Like how there's actors, but then every now and then, like we'll hear like the comedian that's telling the story. Like Jack Black will be like, oh yeah, and then he said this, and then it's like in Jack Black's voice,
yeah.
But then he starts stumbling over his words, and like, and then the actors are like thinking about why they're saying it this way, like stuff like that. I think would have been really funny, of like, maybe Bad Candy's catchphrase, or like they're like, oh no, wait, no, that's not it. It's and you have like Bad Candy almost like trying to pantomime that's comical stuff, but
no,
like,
lean into it
doesn't have to be.
Yeah. Lean into it, dude.
Yeah. So I mean, think,
I don't know,
having more of their involvement to like, to carry through, because they could be removed and nothing changes.
Yep. Nothing changes whatsoever. Like the only thing that they have an impact on, like you stated, is I guess the intro, just saying, hey, it's Halloween night. Weird stuff happens, and then at the end, I guess when their studio burns down, because they have a listener story. And
I have a problem with the outro too.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's that?
Well, we'll get when we get there. I'll tell you.
But yeah, I entirely agree. Like, it should have been. They could have leaned more into the comedy side, and it would have tied them all into it. Because like, even having like Zach Galligan, like as Paul, he was in the booth, right? He was like the producer. Mm-hmm. He could have cut in and been like, that's bullshit. You know, cover the mic and be like, that's completely bullshit. And then, you know, stuff like that, like those little jokes would have added so much to the lore and the story, and it being like goofy Halloween night. And these two dudes are like veteran, radio hosts. Like, they're like, this is crazy.
Right.
I don't know. I like that. I like that a lot, dude. And I kind of wish it went that direction. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they had little involvement in progressing the story.
Yeah. Or because like, I never felt that he was telling these stories over the radio. So like a caller can call in and be like, so like, do you like ask questions about the story he just told? And then he can be like, yeah, she was like 16 or something like that. Or like, I don't know, whatever. Like, yeah, she was fucking dead bodies. Like, isn't that fucking nuts? Mm-hmm. All right. Next caller. Or I don't know. Fucking, if I had more time to write it, I feel like I could, you know, like I'm not like, it's not it's just something I would like to see in this movie, was more involvement by them. So but the last short is the Ghost Hunters
short. Yes. Yeah,
right. And I didn't skip any, right? I didn't have a blackout.
Nope. So technically 7 stories, maybe 8 is what I have here if you're counting the little bully kid as his own separate story. Okay. So 7 or 8.
Yeah, I counted a story every time they would cut back to Chili Billy.
Okay, so then, yeah, 7 stories. We'll say the Ghost Hunters is story 7. Yeah.
So in this, there is a paranormal television show that came to town a couple, or I guess it was like maybe like 20 something years earlier, right?
They say it came earlier, but the way that they're dressed and the way they talk feels very modern.
Yeah.
Right? Like the guy's wearing like a printed shirt like I'm wearing with a bomber jacket and skinny jeans. And I'm like,
yeah,
20 years ago.
Right. But you know? I mean, in order to, for this to like actually make sense, it would have to have been 20 to 30 years ago.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I guess right, I mean, because even though they were all dressed very modern, I'm pretty sure I saw a smartphone in one person's hand by the way,
I'm sure we can even go further and say like the fucking Model Ford that they had probably was early 2000s, you know, like that they were driving around where it should have been 80s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that. I was so annoyed by the end of this movie that I'm just like, I'm not going to find, well, I'm not even going to think about this.
There might be a saving grace there. Cause like Chili Billy, when he gets the call from the caller, he's like, oh, you sound very young, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the whole thing. Like maybe they are a very, very young caller and they're like, this was so long ago. And it's like 10 years ago,
but no, it has to be. So, okay. Because of Paul's involvement, Paul's in the fucking adult that's chain smoking, in a radio booth.
That's true.
He's the one that's aged so much.
Okay.
Also, yeah, if it's a caller supposed to be young and that's my mom, and like, it's like, where's time at? Now that makes me even more mad. The caller's so young, but Paul's now so old.
Mm-hmm.
And this was supposed to have happened when the ghost... It's even further back. I mean, the fuck? Yeah. Because if this happened when Paul... If the original story happened when Paul was a kid, mm-hmm. and the ghost team came out however many years ago, and oh, hold on a second, maybe it does make sense. Hold on a second, maybe the ghost team was more recent. What Paul, yeah, because like what Paul actually did was not, was that was what's what was a long time ago, because that's what they were investigating.
Okay
so maybe the ghost hunters were, they were more recent than we were led to believe.
Okay.
We're doing mental gymnastics right now.
There's no reason for us to be doing that. It's like, it irked me right when I saw that. I'm like, they're dressed very modern, you know? And that's the one thing I got from it. I'm like, this feels like it's been the last 5 years. Like this is the way they're dressed.
So the story is back in the 80s, there was this house that something happened to it, but they had some sick ass comics in the bottom.
Yeah.
And there were two kids were picking on another kid and was like, if you go in there, we'll let you come trick or treating with us. And he's like, all right, fine. So he goes down there. All he has is a lighter that says Paul on it to light his way around the house. He finds some sick ass gore comics and Punisher comics and drops the lighter, and the whole place goes up in flames, trapping this boy who, you know, passes away far too young. And a couple kids that we find out held the door shut so he couldn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have ghost hunters coming to town to investigate it.
Yeah.
So I guess the story is the ghost hunters are coming to town to investigate a fire that happened.
With a kid's death, yeah.
Yeah, with the kid's death. I'm still trying to piece this together.
Yeah.
I thought it made sense in my head, but now I'm talking about it and I'm like, this makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
So they think this place is haunted and it's been abandoned for so long because the house is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the ghost hunters trying to contact the spirit, but the ghost hunters think that it's fake, but it is real.
Mm-hmm.
And the main host keeps having these flashbacks in between, you know, what happened back then and then like in the house now, which is cool. I don't think it was executed correctly, but it was like, I do like that. You know, I like those spooky paranormal things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They find out that the fire originated from the basement, even though like we know where the fire originated from. Also, that house was way too much on CGI fire. to like still be standing.
That's my problem.
Like everything would be, because like all it was like the living room was like, it just looked old and it had like sheets over furniture.
Mm-hmm.
But like that house should be demolished.
They had so much CG fire.
Yeah.
Like, man.
This movie might be the Guinness Book World Records of most CG fire in a film.
Honestly, man, the whole movie, the whole end of this movie is all CG fire, and I'm like, you could tell none of it looks real at all.
No.
None of it. I'm like, what the? I know it's hard and expensive to deal with, like, you know, fire and whatnot, but I'm like,
lights and smoke. We don't even need to see flames.
You don't have to see the flames. That's the thing. It's all an illusion, Michael. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You could have just done practical effects to make it feel like the house is on fire.
Yeah,
but no.
But they didn't. They used CGI, mm-hmm. and they used CGI with like real people in it. So it's like it just made it even look like more unrealistic, because mm-hmm. it just looked like it was there were two flat objects on top of each other.
Just bad layering, yeah.
So the call that calls in is trying to say like, "Yo, Corey," or I'm sorry, Chili. "Yo, Chili, Billy, that's not how it happened. My mom told me the real story, and she knows what really happened because my grandma, that was her like last words."
Mm-hmm.
And it was that Paul, his co-host or his producer, was the one that trapped the kid in the house to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then we reveal that he has a lighter that says Paul on it. Mm-hmm. He's trying to light his stogie with.
Mm-hmm.
It's very thin. Like, I know that the reveal was supposed to be like some kind of big thing, but it was just like, I don't know, maybe I was just mad. At this point I was just over the movie in general.
Mm-hmm.
But it was supposed to be like some kind of big reveal that like the guy that was helping tell all these stories that weren't really telling us these stories had something to do with like the worst fire in New Salem.
So here's my question. Why did it take those many years for, mm-hmm. it took that many years for that story to be told, or for Bad Candy to come after Paul, right? It's like, wouldn't it just know naturally that he's a shitty person, he's going to get killed, or, right? Or would it be some sort of redemption? But, because, you know, throughout the whole film, this character, this creature, Bad Candy, just knows these people are bad, inherently bad, just based off being around. I mean, he kills a kid, right? Because the kid's a little shithead. So it's like, he's obviously taking out these inherently bad human beings. Like, why wouldn't Paul have been taken out much earlier? Or is this such a deep rooted secret that it wasn't, that this, you know, demon clown wouldn't have known until a caller called in to say on this specific night,
even
though they've said for years, they do this every Halloween. User, mm-hmm. you know, or caller stories. So I don't know.
Yeah. So also all these stories happening right now. Like that was another thing. Like that. Like these were these weren't lore, because this was all also happening in real time.
Yeah.
Because you know, Bad Candy is Bad Candy is out right now,
mm-hmm.
and that girl is going trick or treating right now. So it's not really a story. It's reality.
It's scary, right? Stories to tell in the dark, man.
I know, but he's not telling, he's like telling a story of something that's happening in the present. So like, how does he have this information?
I think we're overthinking this goddamn, it's driving me crazy.
I just like Body Bags too. Like that was so good.
Well, you're comparing John Carpenter. Excuse me. You're comparing John Carpenter to this, dude. That's like one of John Carpenter's, like, I'm doing quotes, worst movies, right? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Still so fucking good. So much fun, dude. Yeah. So much fun. And yeah, I'm biased. I'm super biased with John Carpenter stuff. But the thing is, this just like, there's just a lot of gaps, dude.
Yeah.
And like, here's the thing. If they kept the story like super simplistic, if it was just like, here, you know, like the video store one I was talking about, dude pops in a tape, here's a creepy story, pops another tape, here's a creepy story. Yeah. Cool, keep it simple. They wanted you to follow along this narrative of these two guys at a radio station, and they try to tie it all together. That's why we're nitpicking it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because they're trying to have, me to care that this radio station exists telling this story, but I don't, I'm not buying that they're telling us these stories.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
like, don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care what happens to these two radio hosts because I just don't, I'm not convinced. Yeah, I'm not convinced that, like, they're telling me the story. They're just stories that live on their own. There was a scene, I hate to go all the way back, in the vampire Uber where like the gargoyle vampire and Bad Candy are like in the same park and they look at each other. I thought there was gonna be like a Gojira like face off or like what are those big monsters called?
Oh, kaiju.
Kaiju, like a kaiju face off where there's like just two monsters we're just gonna fucking go. But it was more like a, hey, we're doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah, we're killing people on Halloween. There was that part where the little kid walks up and hands the creature like a candy bar and it just flies away. And then it comes back down and it's their buddy again. He's like human. And he's like, man, how many did I kill? And they're like, all of them. You killed all of them. And they just started drinking beers. I'm like, that's kind of fun. Yeah. That was kind of fun, you know? But
anyway, yeah. So Paul is a bad guy. And now he's dead.
He's dead.
So
that's it.
Now, what really bothers me is there's an outro.
Yes.
That's by a voice I haven't heard
the whole time. Movie. Thank you so fucking much.
I was
dude.
Like, who's telling us this story? Like,
this is a new narrator.
Yeah, yeah. A new narrator has entered the game.
End of the film. So what happens at the very end of this movie is you learn that Bad Candy was drawn by the little girl who can draw and use magic. And so she tears the page in half with Bad Candy on it. And that creature disappears.
Right.
So that's where it all came from, is the first witch girl. And then you have that random woman who's narrating the story. I didn't give a fuck what she was saying. I'm like, who is talking right now?
I thought Chili Billy was telling us all these stories.
Yeah, just some random narrator.
I don't think he was. Because if she's ripping the paper of Bad Candy right now that just killed his friend, Paul, means that all of these stories are happening right now, which means they are not urban legends. Yeah. They're happening
in real time
right now. And Chili Billy shouldn't know about it.
No. None of it makes sense, dude. Yeah. None of it makes sense.
If the lore was like, and every year and every Halloween, Chili Billy comes back to claim one more victim. And this time it's Paul, because it's convenient that we're telling the ghost hunter story.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe, but like, this is all happening in real time. Corey Taylor is not privy to any of this information. I am not immersed.
I mentioned Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and like, obviously those books rule for a billion reasons, right? And the movie's okay, right?
Yeah.
I think the movie's fun.
I like the creatures.
The creatures are great. You know, you have that Guillermo kind of aesthetic to it. There's problems with, anyway, you know, one of the interesting things from that is, you know, that book would open and the story would start writing. Whatever was being written in that book, that story or that creature would come to life in real time for those kids being, you know, chased on Halloween. That would have been way cooler if they did something like that. Mm-hmm. Like Chili Billy's telling a story and it's happening in real time because he's cursed or the studio's cursed or Paul's cursed or something, just something corny that could have tied it all together. They made it like too convoluted where it's like, I'm not buying it, dude. Yeah. I'm not buying any of it.
But who's the narrator at the end? I just want to know.
I don't know.
That pissed me off. I was just like, where did this person come from?
There's a new narrator. The last 2 minutes of the movie, as it's showing the aftermath of all the deaths throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
This narrator's talking about, like, oh, Halloween night, so scary. And it's like, what? Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, who are you?
Why? I don't give a shit. Who are you?
This movie was fucking weird. And
it was weird. Sucked. I think my favorite part of the whole movie was the little creature guy and then the end credits, because the end credits were kind of animated cool.
Yeah.
In some parts, like there was a pumpkin throwing up, and I thought that was really cool. Did you watch the end credit scene? Did you stay for the Marvel stinger at the end?
I don't think so. What was it?
Dude, that's the best part of the whole movie. The credits end, right? All these shit rolls, Dance with the Dead's playing in the background. I'm like, this is fucking tight, dude. Credits end, and it cuts back to the little girl, the witch. and it shows her in the forest and she's digging into the ground. And I'm like, oh shit, what's she digging up? And then out of the ground, a hand bursts through the ground and it's her little creature puppet. And it just says his name. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, that'd be cool if they made a whole movie about that guy.
About that guy.
The little creature. I forgot his name, but that was the best part. His little hand breaks through the ground. I'm like, yeah, that was it. That was the best part of the whole movie.
I'm glad that I didn't stay. I didn't have to watch any more of the movie.
Yeah, but at the same time, that was the cool part. So,
okay, so, Matt, I didn't prepare anything to rate this out of.
No, man, no.
I got nothing. You want to give this one fucks? How many fucks you want to give this one?
Honestly, dude, here's what I'm gonna say. This is corny. I'm just gonna say this. No. This is corny.
Listeners, we lost him. We lost him.
Yeah. I'm gonna say let's rate it out of, because this is a Halloween film and it is Halloween and it's supposed to be made for horror nerds by horror nerds. There's a lot of love in here, dude. Like, just one thing I have to say. Well, I'll get into it, but yeah, let's review it out of jack-o'-lanterns, maybe. No, I don't know.
That's what I was thinking too. Jack-o'-lanterns.
Just keep it corny. It's Halloween time, so we'll review it at jack-o'-lanterns. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my whole bit, my spiel on this, I'm giving this 3. I'm just gonna say it out front. Three. And the reason I'm giving it 3 is because what I was just stating, the whole love thing. I don't like this movie. I mean, everyone that worked on it, you know, cool. You made a horror film. There's a lot of cool visuals in it. I will say that.
Yeah.
But also, there's a lot of shitty visuals in it. Straight up. I found the scene, I cut it here. I'm going to send this to you, of Bad Candy walking down the lane of jack-o'-lanterns. I think that's a rad shot. So I'm going to send that to you in a second.
Okay.
Some of the kills were corny, you know, but you could tell there's love in here because there's things like Night of the Living Dead were mentioned, Evil Dead. You saw the Necronomicon in there.
Yeah.
Maybe Welcome to Night Vale, Escape from New York. Like, you know, all these different pieces of media were kind of like thrown in here, and you can tell that whoever, when they were working on this, they true love, and that's why I'm giving it a 3 and not anything lower. But will I watch this next Halloween? Absolutely not. I save Halloween night for Trick or Treat and Halloween, so that's my spiel, dude.
Yeah, there's just so many really great well-crafted anthology horror movies out there that, like, I know, and I feel, this is what I feel most bad about, is because every time we review a movie from an independent company with a smaller cast, they always reach out to us every single time, and I'm very, very, there's so many things I want to love about this movie, and I think it could have been an amazing movie. And it,
are
and
you like afraid? Really are you good. Afraid to say what you want
I'm
to say though?
Very what? Afraid.
Because don't, like, though. That's half the thing. Like, I know where you're going with this. I'm not. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. But I know where you're going with this. I'm afraid to say those things too, because it's like, you don't want to. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You don't want to hurt anyone's feelings
because we want them to keep making horror.
Keep
content.
Making horror movies. Yeah. If this crew made another movie, I'd watch it for sure. I'm saying that.
If this crew made another movie under my supervision, I'm just kidding.
Bring Chili Bill awesome. Back. Bring Paul back. It'd be so rad.
Listen, I don't hate any of the stories except maybe the home invasion one.
That was yeah.
I don't hate any stories. Mm-hmm. I think maybe a couple of them were maybe a little bit too close to other stories. I just had a problem with the telling of the stories and like and how the and how the story was told, and then like the editing and the pace. We have an hour and a half movie, and there is 7 short films in this, maybe 8. I think they could have been a lot more concise and to the point, and instead of, like, you know, having a narrator that we haven't heard the whole movie, we could have tied a nice little bow on top of it. I don't know what that bow would be. Honestly, I don't know how they would end the movie with, like, how they ended the movie. Maybe it just ends. Maybe Paul's dead and like it's that's just how it ends. Paul's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Candy came back to claim one more victim. The pacing was weird. The editing was weird. The color grading was all over the place. There was a lot of really cool shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of really cool shots. There was a lot of really good color grading. But it just, this movie just made me more frustrated than in like any other feeling that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Like very frustrated.
Yeah.
And not like in a good, not in a good way where I'm like, I'm watching something campy. It's not campy. It's just bad storytelling.
Yeah.
And I'm giving it a 2. But I'm also going to give it a 2 because these people love horror movies.
That's it.
You can tell, you're right. You can tell that they love horror,
mm-hmm.
but like, then why? I'm honestly, this is how I honestly feel. I'm a little offended. I'm a little offended that like people that care so much about a genre like I do tell a story like this, because I'm not saying I can do better, but mm-hmm. like, I'm also not saying I'm almost expect this from like a high school class.
I agree. I don't know. So yeah, man, I'm sticking with my review. 3. I'm not going to mm-hmm. watch it every Halloween. I'm going to stick to Trick or Treat for that one. But, you know, they made a movie and we watched it. And, you know, if you're looking for that vibe, go check it out. You got to support these indie films for sure.
Yeah, I have it on Blu-ray.
He has it on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll run a Instagram contest. You guys can have Matt will sign it. You can have my copy of Bad Candy.
I'm not signing. I'm like, whoa, why are we going to sign someone else's movie? I'll sign a piece of paper on the inside that says, right. Hi. It just says hello. That's hello. It. Hello.
Matt. Hello from the Final Boys. If you're receiving this, obviously we hate you.
Yeah, I'm going to give you one of these pieces of stale candy, these candy corns.
Dude.
It's really stale, dude.
Nice.
That's what you'll get. It'll be even more stale in a couple weeks. Holy shit. But that's kind of it, dude. Do you have any closing words before we go?
I don't have any more.
I have no more.
Yeah.
I'm out of words. Where can they find the Final Boys?
Can always find us boys at www.thefinalboys.com, on Instagram and Twitter at The Final Boys. You can find Matt on Twitch at Tamale Johnson. You can find me on Twitch too at Your Friend Dustin. Wait, mm-hmm. did I say at Your Friend Dustin? Just twitch.tv/YourFriendDustin and twitch.tv/TamaleJohnson.
Yeah, at works. People understand that.
Yeah.
Hey, you look it up. For sure. Yeah. And you know, the thing is, dude, it's Halloween season. We're going to go do some haunts this weekend, which is going to be pretty cool. Hopefully by the time you hear this, you're revving up for Halloween itself, and you're enjoying spooky season.
Yeah.
It's the best time of year, man.
My dream would be couple girls, they're getting ready to go out for their first Halloween ever, and they have us on in the background while they're doing makeup. That's my dream. So, all right, guys, make it happen. Let's go. You know? Like, they're all like, they're so excited for their very first Halloween. Maybe as college students, you know? They're like, oh, this is our first college Halloween party. Hmm. Let's get ready. Let's listen to the Final Boys while we're getting ready, you know?
That's your dream?
That's my dream. That's my new dream. I just came up with it.
Are they like super?
They're anime. They're anime girls.
They're anime girls. They're super, super buff, ridiculous dimensions. They're like,
ooh, woo. We should put the Final Boys on.
Mm-hmm. You guys heard it first, man. You're hearing it here. Like, this is Dustin's fantasy, apparently. A bunch of weebs, right?
Or you know what, Torn? I'll settle for you and Haseo too. Put it on the Final Boys while you and Haseo are getting ready for trick or treating. Okay,
I'm gonna cut him off. I'm cutting him off. We're done here. We're done.
All right, let's go.
All right, everyone. Happy Halloween. We'll be back in November.
We survived another episode, barely this time.
Barely.
Really.
Holy
barely
shit,
this time,
man. God,
I was really nervous. I'm like, Matt's gonna be so angry at me.
I'm not angry. You know, I had a good time. I just could have had a better time.
I guess this movie really does bring people together.
It does.
Okay, bye.
Bye.